Well, good morning and welcome to Teller Nation, to Teller Tabernacle, and to our guest today, Mainline Reformed Temple. What a real privilege it is to be with you again on another Lord's Sunday morning, broadcasting here from Teller Tabernacle in Southwest Philadelphia. My name is Pastor Jonathan Ford, and it is my pleasure to serve as your host today for such a great occasion, a collaboration of faith, if you will, both Jewish and Christian traditions coming together. So thank you for tuning in, whether you're coming in over YouTube Live or if you're coming in over Facebook Live or if you are here today in our church audience. Again, we thank you for being a part of this great occasion of fellowship, worship, and collaboration. It's my honor to welcome not only Mainline Reformed Temple, but also my friend, Rabbi David Strauss, who is here today, who will be leading us through the Jewish Seder ceremony. And so we are looking forward to that. Before we begin, or in order to begin, I'm going to offer up a word of prayer, after which we will enjoy a brief video in our sanctuary. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Next, we're getting ready to watch a short video that will provide some background on the intersection or overlaps, if you will, of the Jewish Passover as well as the Christian communion. I will note for those that are watching online, you will not be able to see or hear this portion of the video, but if you hang tight, it lasts for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and then we'll be back to the live broadcast. Thank you. We're inviting our new guests. Feel free to come in and join us. We thank you for that brief video presentation, because through that video presentation, it gave you, or at least highlighted, some of the points of intersection and commonality between the Jewish Passover as well as the Christian communion service. And I do want to add, for those that are joining us online, if you do go to our website and provide us with your email address in our post-service communication, we will forward you a link to the video in its entirety, because there is much more involved. It's about a 25-minute video with more details in depth. So if we have your email address, if you're already on our distribution list, you're fine. But if not, please contact the church via our website and provide us with your email address. And in our post-service communication, you will receive a link not only to the video, but also to the Seder ceremony, which Rabbi Strauss is about to lead us into. And so with that being said, this portion of the service is now turned over to our friend and our guest, Rabbi David Strauss.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Ford. So let me just give a brief introduction to the Passover Seder. As you heard in the video, Passover and Easter share much in common. Both are times of renewal, both recall redemption, and both look toward a future redemption as well. One of the things to keep in mind, we don't know if the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. It is a Passover Seder in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, but as you probably know, in the Gospel of John, it's clearly not a Seder meal at all. In fact, there's no reference in John to the Seder at all. Whatever that last meal was, even if it was a Seder, it was nothing like the Seder that we're having today. The Seder that we have today, that Jews celebrate around the world, is a rabbinic invention. During the time when Jesus lived and died, the temple still stood in Jerusalem, so his way of observing Passover would have been to go to the Temple Mount to offer a lamb as a sacrifice. And then I would gather that he and his disciples would come together for some kind of festival meal. So it would have been a festival meal to be able to celebrate the eve of Passover, but certainly without all of the rituals that we do here today. A brief word just of an introduction to what is the Seder today. The word Seder literally means order, and it follows 14 steps, and it is a great example of experiential education because we reenact the Exodus from Egypt by eating all sorts of food that symbolize different aspects of what it meant to be slaves when we were in Egypt. So a bit about what's on the Seder plate. There's parsley and salt water. Parsley is because it's springtime. We saw in the video the earth is beginning to be renewed. It's a symbol of life and of joy. And the salt water is supposed to be symbolic of the tears of having been slaves in the land of Egypt. We have a bitter herb, which is, in our case, horseradish. We're going to eat that a little bit. By the way, you're all going to get a chance to be able to partake of these Passover foods outside at the end of our service today. So the horseradish is symbolic of the bitterness of having been slaves in Egypt. Ordinarily, there would have been a shank bone. Try finding a shank bone after Passover at the supermarket. I couldn't, so I'm following a vegetarian order, which instead of the shank bone, which is representative of the Paschal offering, it's a beet, which I guess is red and has blood, so that's what vegetarians would put on their plate as well. There's a hard-boiled egg, which is slightly charred, again, symbolic of the Paschal offering or of the renewal of life. And finally, what's called charoset. There are all different ways to be able to make it. The charoset that I made is made out of nuts and chopped apples and a little bit of sweet grape juice. Depending where you're from, you have a different recipe, and it's supposed to represent the mortar or the bricks that our people were forced to make as slaves in Egypt as part of the building that they were doing. And finally, wine. Wine is always the symbol of joy in Jewish tradition. And symbolically on Passover, we actually drink 4 cups of wine. The number 4 is a motif that occurs quite often in the Passover Seder. There are 4 questions that we're going to read today. 4 cups of wine, we're only going to drink 3. There's a legend about 4 children who are 4 different kinds of learners. And there are other numbers of 4 that come up in the Passover Seder as well. And finally, the last is a cup for Elijah. Elijah, in our tradition, is the prophet who was going to announce the coming of the Messiah or the coming of the Messianic Age. So as, again, we heard in the video, for both Jews and Christians, Easter and Passover are not only about commemorations of events past, but of a renewed and different kind of future that we all hope and pray for. So with that, we're going to join together in our Passover Seder. Hopefully you all have the sheets. And I think what I'd like to do is, most of it, we're going to read through together. And again, this is an abbreviated Seder. I didn't put the whole Seder ritual in here. Seder traditionally is done in the evening. Actually, there's a 5th question. This is bad rabbinic humor. So the last question is always, when do we eat? When are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? But depending how traditional your family is, the ritual before actually eating can last a good hour, hour and a half. And then after we eat, there are other rituals that are done as well. Again, we're going to do this symbolically today. All right, let's join together. We're so happy to be here together in this place at this time. Let's join together in a song of welcome. Eveinu shalom aleichem. Eveinu shalom aleichem. Eveinu shalom aleichem. Eveinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Which means we welcome all of you. So we begin with the lighting of festival candles. Again, in Jewish tradition, all festivals begin at sunset. And we begin our festivals by lighting candles. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kitshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu L'Hadlik Ner Shel Yom Tov. Praise to you, O God, eternal source of the universe, who sanctifies us with commandments and has given us this commandment to light the candles of the festival. So let's read together. On this night, we retrace our steps from then to now, reclaiming years of desert wandering. On this night, we ask questions, ancient and new, speaking of servitude and liberation, service and joy. On this night, we welcome each soul, sharing stories of courage, strength, and faith. On this night, we open doors long closed, lifting our voices in songs of praise. On this night, we renew ancient hopes and dream of a future redeemed. On this night, we gather around Seder tables, remembering our passage from bondage to freedom. On this night, we journey from then to then, telling the story of all Jewish celebrations. From holidays to weddings, include wine as a symbol of our joy. The Kiddush is particularly important on Passover because each time we say it, we are reminded of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. As we remember our own liberation from bondage in Egypt, we express gratitude for the ability to work as God's partners in continued and continual redemption for today's refugees. So at this Seder, we begin Kiddush with this prayer for peace in Ukraine. We pray for Ukraine and the safety and security of its citizens. Bless those fighting to protect their homeland with resources, courage. We pray for the refugees evacuating their homes. Watch over them on their journey, provide for their needs, and enable them to return swiftly. We pray for the Russians protesting this invasion. May their voices be heard and magnified and help bring an end to the conflict. We pray for the countries offering humanitarian aid. Bless them with abundant resources to feed, clothe, and shelter. We pray for our world's leaders determining history. Bless them with wisdom, clarity, and unity, and enable them to act decisively for the greater good. We pray for those who are suffering, grieving, and afraid. Bless them with hope and healing and the knowledge that we pray for our broken world and the people in it. Bless us with the ability to work together to usher in an era of abiding peace. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri hagafen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shechecheyanu. V'kiyamanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. Praised are you, O God, eternal source of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, O God, eternal source of the universe, for giving us life, for sustaining us, and for enabling us to celebrate together on this day. And we drink our first glass of wine. L'chaim. When parsley or celery pops out like green crowns on the earth, they remind us of spring, of all that is new and young and hopeful. But the salt water of the ocean recalls all that is old, its waves rumbling back to the beginning of time. When we dip the karpas into salt water, young and old, future and past, all come together at the Seder. We dip our parsley into salt water and recite this blessing. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri ha'adama. Blessed are you, O God, eternal source of the universe, creator of the fruits of the earth. Now we break bread to be hospitable to everyone we are sharing Seder with this evening and to all people with whom we share space in our lives.
Are greater than that which is still revealed.
And then we wrap the other piece, I'm not going to do that, up in a napkin, and it's called the afikomen or dessert. And the way the Seder ends, there are two different traditions. One is the leader of the Seder hides the afikomen, and the young people have to find it, and then when they find it, they redeem it from the leader of the Seder by asking for a gift. Or, I can't believe the Jewish parents would teach their children this, we put the afikomen behind the leader of the Seder, and the goal of the children to keep them up during the Seder Eve is to figure out a way to steal the afikomen. And then again, they have to go to the leader of the Seder and say, if you want the dessert, the afikomen back, you have to pay me for it, and they get a present or a prize for that so you can end the Seder. So, among many people and cultures, breaking bread signifies friendship. For the sake of redemption, ours and the world's, we pray together hallowed words. And let's read together. That connect us to Jews everywhere and to all who are in need, the stranger and the lost, the hungry and the unjustly imprisoned, for our redemption is bound up with theirs, and with the deliverance of all peoples. This is the bread of affliction which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Anyone who is hungry, come in and eat. All who are in need, come and find a place at our Seder table. Now we are here, next year in the land of Israel. Now we are slaves, next year free, liberated people. The central commandment of the Seder is to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt, the Higdat HaLevanicha. You shall tell your child on that day, saying, this is because of what Adonai did for me when I came out of Egypt. Now is the time of telling and retelling. We begin our story with questions. And the four questions, why don't we go to the top of page 5. Why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat chametz, leavened foods, and matzah. Why on this night only matzah? On all other nights, we eat all vegetables. Why on this night, maror, bitter herbs? On all other nights, we don't dip even once. Why on this night do we dip twice? On all other nights, we eat either sitting, upright, or reclining. Why on this night do we all recline? And the answers to the questions, by the way, which are answered later on in the Haggadah, we eat matzah. Matzah is representative of the bread of affliction, the bread of slavery, the poor person's bread. And, or, you may know that at least in one telling of the Passover Exodus, in the book of Exodus, the people had so little time to leave that the bread couldn't leaven. It was on their backs, and so it's in memory of that Exodus from Egypt. We eat the bitter herbs to remember the bitterness of having been slaves in Egypt. And we dip and recline, because those are symbols of what wealthy people did, or what wealthy Romans were able to do. The Passover Seder is representative of a Roman feast, and we want to be free people and live like free people. So let's read together. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us from there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Had God not brought our ancestors out of Egypt, then even today, we and our children and our grandchildren would still be slaves. Even if we were all wise, knowledgeable scholars and Torah experts, we would still be obligated to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And much of the rest of the Haggadah tells them the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And it culminates and reaches its high point with the story of the 10 plagues. So here is a theological question. Sports aside, are you allowed to root for the downfall of your enemy? And in Jewish tradition, there are actually, as there are to most questions, more than one answer. So certainly, our celebration of Purim, when we read the book of Esther, is all about celebrating the downfall of our enemies. Although the story is such a farce and told in such a fanciful way, it's hard to believe that it's really a very true story. The majority of Jewish tradition, I would say, says, although we have no desire to be slaves again, we need to remember that our freedom came at other people's costs, and we don't celebrate when others suffer, even if their suffering came at our expense. I have to tell you, I am in awe of Christians, and to be honest, especially of Black Christians, who I think understand this in their souls and in their hearts in ways that are just incredibly profound and moving to this rabbi. One of the ways we mark the lessening of our joy is when we recite the 10 plagues, we take 10 drops of wine out of our glasses. To lessen our joy, wine again always being the symbol of joy, to lessen our joy as we remember, though we are free, that freedom came by the suffering of others. So let's read together. Blood, frogs, lice, swarming insects, animal disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, the death of the firstborn. And then we sing a song that says, Dayenu, it would have been enough. So we're on the top of page 6. Dayenu expresses our gratitude to God for everything that God did for us during the Exodus from Egypt. The chorus says it all, Dayenu, it would have been enough. Now it's time for us to do the rest. Ilu hotzi hotzi anu hotzi anu mi mitzrayim hotzi anu mi mitzrayim dayenu. Dai dayenu, dai dayenu, dai dayenu, dayenu, dayenu. Ilu natan natan lanu, natan lanu et hashabat, natan lanu et hashabat dayenu. Dai dayenu, dai dayenu, dai dayenu, dayenu, dayenu. Ilu natan natan lanu et hatzora, natan lanu et hatzora dayenu. Dai dayenu, dai dayenu, dai dayenu, dayenu, dayenu. Had God brought us out of Egypt, it would have been enough. Had God given us the Sabbath, it would have been enough. Had God given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Rabban Gamliel teaches that without these explanations, our celebration is not complete. And now you hold up the three symbols. It would have been the shankbone, had I been able to find one after Passover, instead of beet today. So Pesach, the beet, or the roasted bone, recalls the lamb our ancestors sacrificed and ate in the days of the temple. It reminds us that during the 10th plague, God passed over the Israelite homes and spared their firstborn. Matzah. Matzah reminds us how our ancestors had to leave Egypt in such haste that the dough for their bread did not have time to rise. And maror, or the bitter herb, we eat this maror to remind us how bitter the Egyptians made the lives of our Israelite slave ancestors. The second cup of wine is for the promise God made to our ancestors, I will deliver you from slavery. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri hagafen. Now we link ourselves to all those driven from their home by poverty or war, as we fulfill the commandment, for 7 days you shall eat matzah, the bread of affliction, so you will remember the day when all left Egypt, all the days of your life. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilat matzah. Source of blessing, God of eternity, your majesty fills the universe. You teach us pathways to holiness, among them the eating of matzah. When we dip the maror in charoset, we recognize that bitter and sweet often come together in life. We see both the bitter and the sweet in the world and bless God for both. The maror also reminds us of the bitterness of slavery. We feel the sting of our ancestors' tears and those who have been enslaved in our own country and around the world. As it is written, I am a Jew because wherever suffering weeps, the Jew weeps. As the children of slaves, we must stand with all who are afflicted and work to liberate those in captivity. As it is written, freedom is indivisible, and when one person is enslaved, all are not free. So, the first time we eat the piece of matzah, we eat it with the bitter herb alone. And the second time, we eat it with a bit of the charoset, which is sweet. Again, the haroset is a reminder of perhaps the bricks that our ancestors made. And you'll get a chance to taste this, and then you can have a contest, because I made some, and Dave Edmund made some, and you can decide whose is better. Okay, so we just ate the Hillel sandwich on page 8. A sacred remembrance, a bond with the past, we kept the custom of Hillel. From those days when the temple existed, Hillel would combine matzah and maror with the Pesach offering, then, in fulfillment of ancient teaching, eat the symbols of our redemption together as it is said. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. As we ate the bitter herb, we are reminded of the bitterness in our world today.
In this sacred space, we open our hearts for Elijah, the prophet, in the hope that he will usher in an age of peace. And that fifth cup of wine, which is in front of the candles, is the cup for Elijah in anticipation of future redemption, which we work to bring as brothers and sisters who work to bring peace and unity to our broken world. Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hatishbi, Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu Hagiladi, which means Elijah the prophet, Elijah the Tishbite, that was the village that he was from, Elijah, Elijah the Galilean. So now we conclude our Seder on page 9. Redemption is not complete. And so recalling words that have shaped us as a people, we raise the final cup. And with this cup, we accept the tasks of justice and tikkun, repairing our world that still await us. And we honor the purpose of the Jewish people, to affirm our covenant with God who freed us from slavery, and to open doorways of hope to all. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri hagafen. That was a brief Seder. People have any questions before I turn it back over to Reverend Ford? All right. Well, hopefully soon we can be able to do a real Seder together on Passover. All right.
Well, thank you, Rabbi Strauss, for walking us through the scaled down version of the Seder, and I hope for Taylor that we saw a lot of the similarities from which we participate and practice in our own Christian faith. One of the words coming out of the Bible regarding the Old Testament is that the Old Testament is referred to as our schoolmaster, the foundation. It's the groundwork from which Christianity spring forth. And so all of these traditions, all of these historical facts that have been passed down are so relevant for us and so meaningful for us as we study the whole of the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so as we now in the Christian faith, we celebrate Holy Communion, what we call the Lord's Supper. And in that, we look at two specific elements, that are highlighted for us in the communion service. And that is the bread and the wine. And for us, I'm going to read a passage that is familiar, that is often read at many communion celebration in Christian churches, and it's found in the New Testament out of the book of 1 Corinthians. It's the 11th chapter, and I'm actually just going to read two or three verses. And it says, "For I have received from the Lord," and this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking in a letter to the church at Corinth, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' The same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.' It says, 'For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so with that, I am going to invite you to now take the communion sacraments. And if there's anyone who did not receive one coming in, feel free to just slip your hand up in the air if you did not receive it. And then this communion sacrament, we have both the bread represented by the wafer and also the grape juice representing the wine or his blood. Okay? And so we're just going to pull back that top layer and expose the wafer. We'll take the wafer out. And I say, as the leader of the communion service, I say to you, even as Christ said to his disciples, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, which was his custom. And he gave to his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you, symbolic or foreshadowing what his body would soon entail on the crucifixion. Eat ye all of it. And then I'm going to ask you to pull back that the next covering to expose the grape juice. And Christ also said on that occasion as they fellowship, he said, this wine represents the new covenant. The Old Testament representing the Old Covenant, but he said, this is the New Covenant. And it is written and signed in my own blood. He told his disciples, drink ye all of it. Also recorded in John's Gospel, as they conversated after dinner, Jesus said these words. He said, behold, I give you a new commandment. And that new commandment is this, that ye love one another. And so in the obedience to the instructions of Christ, not only do we keep the communion service on a level of frequency, but we also remember that command that we ought to keep on a daily basis. And that is to love one another. Love our fellow Christians, love our fellow Jews, and to love all humanity, because all of humanity has been created, in the likeness and image of God Himself. Shall we bow our heads for a moment of prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us today, that we might come together and share, both out of the Jewish tradition as well as the Christian tradition, understanding that you are our redemption. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this time of faith. And we ask that you would bless us, strengthen us, and renew our commitment to love one another and our commitment to love this world until that great day when you come again and redeem us unto the Father himself. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and thank you. And what a great teaching Sunday this has been. I don't know about you, but I have learned much by participating in yet another Seder. We did this about 8 years ago, and what a privilege it is to have an opportunity to do it again. We weren't able to eat together as we did on last time, but as Rabbi Strauss indicated, we do have all of these elements available for you outside in the garden. So immediately following service, I invite all of you to join us there in the garden so that we may partake of these elements. And yes, the horseradish is hot. Rabbi Strauss didn't pull one over on me on that one. He gave me accurate advice. And so just a few things as we conclude our service. Just want to give one or two announcements for our benefit. We'll have our collection, and then Rabbi Strauss will lead us in our benediction. Thank you all for being out today and for wearing your mask. I know the city has been going back and forth, but we're remaining consistent. When we come inside, we're going to continue to wear our mask, and I thank you for doing that on this Sunday and for the Sundays ahead. I do have a big announcement this Sunday. If you're like me and have a small or non-existent social media profile, you may not know this, but on yesterday morning at 12:29 a.m., Tyrone and Leah Davis gave birth, and yes, they both gave birth because he was there. That counts. If you're there, you're giving birth too. They gave birth, and I'm going to try to get this right, Zane Amari Davis.
He came in this world weighing 9 pounds and 6 ounces. He was 21 inches long, and it took 36 hours of labor to get him here. Let's thank God for our newest young man. We thank God for him. We thank God for Tyrone and Leah. They're both doing well, and an opportunity to speak with them both this morning. They knew they weren't going to be here because she was due, but they're doing well, and they wanted to give their regards not only to the Taylor family, but also to Mainline, to Rabbi Strauss, to Jill, specifically mentioned your name for all the collaborative work that we have done in the past year. So we thank God for that. Now I think we have one other short video regarding the garden. Not only will we be able to eat in the garden this afternoon, we do have a small task ahead of us. We have one more flower bed that is to be built and a couple of arbor trellises to be attached to the upper garden beds. So I'm asking you to join us in the garden, not only for the refreshment, but for if you could help us just complete these last items, it will prepare us for the soil and the planting season that is to come. So thank you for that. A heads up on this Friday, Good Friday, you may remember we had the Cobbs Creek Gun Violence March. All of the churches gathered here with heeding God's call. We walked through all of the neighborhoods. We visited with the families who were victims of gun violence in our neighborhood. We prayed for them. We offered and provided support to them. And it was a wonderful time for our community to join with us as faith leaders to come and really show our support in a visible way. One of the churches that participated was the St. George, St. Barnabas Episcopal Church right down the road here. And they wanted me to share with our congregation that this Friday, the 29th, they will have a fish fry sale. And they're selling fish sandwiches and fish platters. The most important thing is the time is between 11 and 6, and the phone number is 215-747-2605. So if you're going to be in the neighborhood on Friday and you want to do fish on Friday, St. George, St. Episcopal, St. George, St. Barnabas is making that available to you on this Friday. Also on this Saturday at noon, we're going to have our praise and worship practice here in the sanctuary. Anyone who is interested in singing on the praise team or playing in the band, you're invited to join us, and we will have a vocal and musical instructor leading this practice. So thank God for our young people in that regard. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, feel free to utilize our website. Go there, send us an email, contact the ministry. Let us know how we can be in support of you, not only in terms of praying for you, but how we might assist you in moving forward as well. Our website, you know it, www.taylortabernacle.com. Remember to subscribe if you're viewing online. Subscribe to our YouTube page as well as our Facebook page at Taylor Tabernacle. We would love to have you be a part of our ministry. And as I indicated earlier, if you provide us with your email address, you will receive a link to not only the video, but also an electronic copy of the Seder ceremony that Rabbi Strauss walked us through this morning. With that being said, I'm going to invite us all to stand. We will give the service back to Rabbi Strauss for our benediction and its conclusion.
Baruch atem bevoeichem, baruch atem betzeichem. Blessed are you who have come here in peace. May you be blessed as you go forth into the world in peace. Oseh shalom bimromav, hu ya'aseh shalom. Aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael v'imaru, amen. May God who makes peace in the high heavens grant peace and comfort unto us, unto all Israel, unto all the world, and let us say, amen.